the 18th of September. By break of day we came to within sight of the fleet, which was a very fine thing to behold, being above 100 ships, great and small, with the flagships of each squadron distinguished by their several flags on their main, fore, or mizzen masts. Among others, the Sovereign, Charles, and Prince, in the last of which my Lord Sandwich was. When we called by her side, his lordship was not stirring, so we came to anchor a little below his ship, thinking to have rowed on board him. But the wind and tide were so strong against us that we could not get up to him, no, though rowed by a boat of the Prince's that came to us to tow us up. At last, however, he brought us within a little way, and then they flung out a rope to us from the Prince, and so came on board, but with great trouble and time and patience, it being very cold. We find my lord newly up in his nightgown, very well. He received us kindly, telling us the state of the fleet, lacking provisions, having no beer at all, nor having had most of them these 3 weeks or month, and but few days dry provisions. And indeed he tells us that he believes no fleet was ever set to sea in so ill condition of provision as this was when it went out last. He did inform us in the business of Bergen, so as to let us see how the judgment of the world is not to be depended on in things they know not, it being a place just wide enough, and not so much, hardly, for ships to go through to it, the yard-arms sticking in the very rocks. He doth not, upon his best inquiry, find reason to accept against any part of the management of that business by Teddeman, he having stayed treating no longer than during the night whilst he was fitting himself to fight, bringing his ship abreast, and not a quarter of an hour longer, as is said. Nor could more ships have been brought to play, as is thought, nor could men be landed, there being 10,000 men effectively all way in arms of the Danes. Nor, says he, could we expect more from the Dane than he did, it being impossible to set fire on the ships, but it must burn the town. But that wherein the Dane did amiss, is that he did assist them, the Dutch, all the while he was treating with us, while he should have been neutral to us both. But, however, he did demand but the treaty of us, which is, that we should not come with more than 5 ships. A flag of truce is set, and confessed by my lord that he believes it was hung out, but while they did hang it out they did shoot at us, so that it was not, either seen, perhaps, or fit, to cease upon sight of it, while they continued actually in action against us. But the main thing my lord wonders at and condemns the Dane for, is that that blockhead, who is so much in debt to the Hollanders, having now a treasure, more by much than all his crown was worth, and that which would for ever have beggared the Hollander, should not take this time to break with the Hollanders, and thereby paid his debt, which must have been forgiven him, and got the greatest treasure into his hands that ever was together in the world. By and by my lord took me aside to discourse of his private matters, who was very free with me touching the ill condition of the fleet that it hath been in, and the good fortune that he hath had, and nothing else that these prizes are to be imputed to. He also talked with me about Mr. Coventry's dealing with him, in sending Sir William Penn away before him, which was not fair nor kind, but that he hath mastered and cajoled Sir William Penn that he hath been able to do nothing in the fleet, but been obedient to him, but withal tells me he is a man that is but of very mean parts, and a fellow not to be lived with, so false and base he is, which I know well enough to be very true, and did, as I formerly done, give my lord my knowledge of him. By and by was called a council of war on board, when came Sir William Penn there, and Sir Christopher Mings, Sir Edward Spragg, Sir Joseph Jordan, Sir Thomas Teddeman, and Sir Roger Cuttance. And so the necessities of the fleet for victuals, clothes, and money was discoursed. But by the discourse there of all but my lord, that is to say, the counterfeit grave nonsense of Sir William Penn, and the poor mean discourse of the rest, methinks I see how the government and management of the greatest business of the three nations is committed to very ordinary heads, saving my lord. And in effect, is only upon him who is able to do what he please with them, they not having the meanest degree of reason to be able to oppose anything that he says. And so I fear it is ordered but like all the rest of the king's public affairs. The council being up, they most of them went away, only Sir William Penn who stayed to dine there, and did so. But the wind being high, the ship, though the motion of it was hardly discernible to the eye, did make me sick, so as I could not eat anything almost. After dinner, Cock did pray me to help him to £500 of Will Howe, who is deputy treasurer, wherein my Lord Brunker and I am to be concerned. And I did ask it, my lord, and he did consent to have us furnished with £500, and I did get it paid to Sir Roger Cuttance and Mr. Pierce in part for above £1,000 worth of goods, mace, nutmegs, cinnamon, and cloves. And he tells us we may hope to get £500 by it, which God send. Great spoil, I hear, there hath been of the two East India ships, and that yet they will come in to the king very rich, so that I hope this journey will be worth £100 to me. After having paid this money, we took leave of my lord, and so to our yacht again, having seen many of my friends there. Among others, I hear that Will Howe will grow very rich by this last business, and grows very proud and insolent by it. But it is what I ever expected. I hear by everybody how much my poor Lord of Sandwich was concerned for me during my silence a while, lest I had been dead of the plague in this sickly time. No sooner come into the yacht, though overjoyed with the good work we have done today, but I was overcome with seasickness, so that I begun to spew soundly, and so continued a good while, till at last I went into the cabin, and shutting my eyes, my trouble did cease, that I fell asleep, which continued till we came into Chatham River, where the water was smooth, and then I rose, and was very well. And the tide, coming to be against us, we did land before we came to Chatham, and walked a mile, having very good discourse by the way, it being dark and it beginning to rain just as we got thither. At Commissioner Pett's we did eat and drink very well, and very merry we were, and about 10 at night, it being moonshine and very cold, we set out, his coach carrying us, and so all night travelled to Greenwich, we sometimes sleeping a little, and then talking and laughing by the way, and with much pleasure, but that it was very horrible cold, that I was afeard of an ague. A pretty passage was that the coach stood of a sudden, and the coachman came down, and the horses stirring, he cried, "Hold!" which waked me, and the coachman standing at the boot to do something or other, and crying, "Hold!" I did wake of a sudden, and not knowing who he was, nor thinking of the coachman, between sleeping and waking I did take up the heart to take him by the shoulder, thinking verily he had been a thief. But when I waked, I found my cowardly heart to discover a fear within me, and that I should never have done it if I had been awake. The 19th of September. About 4 or 5 of the clock we came to Greenwich, and having first set down my Lord Brunker, Cock and I went to his house, it being light, and there, to our great trouble, we being sleepy and cold, we met with the ill news that his boy Jack was gone to bed sick, which put Captain Cock and me also into much trouble, the boy, as they told us, complaining of his head most, which is a bad sign, it seems. So they presently betook themselves to consult whether and how to remove him. However, I thought it not fit for me to discover too much fear to go away, nor had I any place to go to. So to bed I went and slept till 10 of the clock, and then comes Captain Cock to wake me, and tell me that his boy was well again. With great joy I heard the news, and he told it. So I up and to the office, where we did a little, and but a little, business. At noon, by invitation, to my Lord Brunker's, where we stayed till 4 of the clock for my Lady Batten, and she not then coming, we to dinner, and pretty merry, but disordered by her making us stay so long. After dinner I to the office, and there wrote letters, and did business till night, and then to Sir John Minnis, where I find my Lady Batten come, and she and my Lord Brunker and his mistress, and the whole houseful there at cards. But by and by my Lord Brunker goes away, and others of the company, and when I expected Sir John Minnis and his sister, should have stayed to have made Sir William Batten and Lady Supt, I find they go up in snuff to bed, without taking any manner of leave of them, but left them with Mr. Borman. The reason of this I could not presently learn, but anon I hear it is that Sir John Minnis did expect and intend them a supper, but they, without respect to him, did first apply themselves to Borman, which makes all this great feud. However, I stayed and there supped, all of us being in great disorder from this, and more from Cox's boys being ill, where my Lady Batten and Sir William Batten did come to town with an intent to lodge, and I was forced to go seek a lodging, which my Will Hewer did get me, viz. His own chamber in the town, whither I went, and find it a very fine room, and there lay most excellently. The 20th of September. Called up by Captain Cock, who was last night put into great trouble upon his boys being rather worse than better, upon which he removed him out of his house to his stable, who told me that to my comfort his boy was now as well as ever he was in his life. So I up, and after being trimmed, the first time I've been touched by a barber these 12 months, I think, and more, went to Sir John Minnis, where I find all out of order still, they having not seen one another, till by and by Sir John Minnis and Sir William Batten met to go into my Lord Brunker's coach, and so we four to Lambeth, and thence to the Duke of Albemarle, to inform him what we have done as to the fleet, which is very little, and to receive his direction. But, Lord, what a sad time it is to see no boats upon the river, and grass grow all up and down Whitehall Court, and nobody but poor wretches in the streets. And which is worst of all, the Duke showed us the number of the plague this week, brought in the last night from the Lord Mayor, that it is increased about 600 more than the last, which is quite contrary to all our hopes and expectations from the coldness of the late season. For the whole general number is 8,297, and of them, the plague, 7,165, which is more in the whole by above 50 than the biggest bill yet, which is very grievous to us all. I found here a design in my Lord Brunker and Captain Cock, to have had my Lord Brunker chosen as one of us, to have been sent aboard one of the East Indiamen, and Captain Cock, as a merchant, to be joined with him, and Sir John Minnis for the other, and Sir George Smith to be joined with him. But I did order it so that my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis were ordered, but I did stop the merchants to be added, which would have been a most pernicious thing to the King, I'm sure. In this I did, I think, a very good office, though I cannot acquit myself from some envy of mine in the business, to have that profitable business done by another hand, while I lay wholly employed in the trouble of the office. Thence back again by my Lord's coach to my Lord Brunker's house, where I find my Lady Batten, who has become very great with Mistress Williams, my Lord Brunker's whore. And there we dined, and were mighty merry. After dinner I to the office, there to write letters to fit myself for a journey tomorrow to Nonsuch, to the Exchequer by appointment. That being done, I to Sir John Minnis, where I find Sir William Batten and his lady gone home to Walthamstow, in great snuff as to Sir John Minnis, but yet with some necessity, hearing that a maidservant of theirs is taken ill. Here I stayed and resolved of my going in my Lord Brunker's coach, which he would have me to take, though himself cannot go with me as he intended. And so to my last night's lodging to bed. Very well. The 21st of September. Up between 5 and 6 o'clock, and by the time I was ready my Lord's coach comes for me, and taking Will Hewers with me, who is all in mourning for his father, who is lately dead of the plague, as my boy Tom's is also, I set out and took about £100 with me to pay the fees there. And so I rode in some fear of robbing. When I come thither, I find only Mr. Ward, who led me to Burgess's bedside, and Spicer's, who, watching of the house, as it is their turns every night, did lie long in bed today. And I find nothing at all done in my business, which vexed me. But not seeing how to help it, I did walk up and down with Mr. Ward to see the house, and by, Spicer and Mr. Falconbridge came to me, and he and I to a town nearby, Yule, and there drink and set up my horses, and also bespoke a dinner. And while that is dressing, went with Spicer and walked up and down the house and park. And a fine place it hath heretofore been, and a fine prospect about the house. A great walk of a elm and a walnut, set one after another in order, and all the house on the outside filled with figures of story and good painting of Rubens or Holbein's doing. And one great thing is that most of the house is covered, I mean the posts and quarters in the walls, covered with lead and gilded. I walked into the ruined garden, and there found a plain little girl, kinswoman of Mr. Falconbridge, to sing very finely, by the ear only, but a fine way of singing. And if I come ever to lack a girl again, I shall think of getting her. Thence to the town, and there Spicer, Woodruff, and William Bowyer and I dined together, and a friend of Spicer's, and a good dinner I had for them. Falconbridge dined somewhere else by appointment. Strange to see how young William Bowyer looks at 41 years. One would not take him for 24 or more, and is one of the greatest wonders I ever did see. After dinner, about 4 o'clock, we broke up, and I took coach and home, in fear for the money I had with me, but that this friend of Spicer's, one of the Duke's guard, did ride along the best part of the way with us. I got to my Lord Brunker's before night, and there I sat and supped with him and his mistress and Cock, whose boy is yet ill. Thence, after losing a crown betting at tables, we walked home, Cock seeing me at my new lodging where I went to bed. All my work this day in the coach, going and coming, was to refresh myself in my music scale, which I would fain have perfecter than ever I had yet. The 22nd of September. Up betimes and to the office, meaning to have entered my last 5 or 6 days' journal, but was called away by my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis, and to Blackwall, there to look after the storehouses, in order to the laying of goods out of the East India ships, where they shall be unloaden. That being done, we into Johnson's house, and were much made of, eating and drinking. But here it is observable what he tells us, that digging his late dock, he did 12 foot underground find perfect trees overcovered with earth, nut trees, with the branches and the very nuts upon them, some of whose nuts he showed us, their shells black with age, and their kernel, upon opening, decayed, but their shell perfectly hard as ever. And a new tree he showed us, upon which, he says, the very ivy was taken up whole about it, which, upon cutting with an adze, we found to be rather harder than the living tree usually is. They say very much, but I do not know how hard a yew tree naturally is. The arms, they say, were taken up at first, whole about the body, which is very strange. Thence away by water, and I walked with my Lord Brunker home, and there at dinner comes a letter from my Lord Sandwich, to tell me that he would this day be at Woolwich, and desired me to meet him, which, fearing it might have lain in Sir John Minnis's pocket a while, he sending it me, did give my Lord Brunker and his mistress and I occasion to talk of him as the most unfit man for business in the world, though at last afterward I found he was not in this faulty. But hereby I have got a clear evidence of my Lord Brunker's opinion of him. My Lord Brunker presently ordered his coach to be ready, and we to Woolwich, and my Lord not being come, we took a boat, and about a mile off, I met him in his ketch, and boarded him, and came up with him. And after making a little halt at my house, which I ordered to have my wife see him, we all together, by coach, to Mr. Borman's, where Sir John Minnis did receive him very handsomely, and there he is to lie. And Sir John Minnis did give him on the sudden a very handsome supper, and brave discourse, my Lord Brunker and Captain Cock and Captain Herbert being there, with myself. Here my Lord did witness great respect to me and very kind expressions, and by other occasions, from one thing to another, did take notice how I was overjoyed at first to see the King's letter to his Lordship at first, and told them how I did kiss it, and that whatever he was, I did alway love the King. This my Lord Brunker did take such notice of, as that he could not forbear kissing me before my lord, professing his finding occasion every day more and more to love me. And Captain Cock hath since of himself taken notice of that speech of my lord's then concerning me, and may be of good use to me. Among other discourse concerning long life, Sir John Minnis saying that his great-grandfather was alive in Edward the Fifth's time, my Lord Sandwich did tell us how few there have been of his family since King Harry the Eighth, that is to say, the then Chief Justice, and his son the Lord Montague, who was father to Sir Sidney, who was his father. And yet what is more wonderful, he did assure us from the mouth of my Lord Montague himself, that in King James's time had a mind to get the king to cut off the entail of some land, which was given in Harry the Eighth's time to that family, with the remainder in the crown. He did, to answer the king in showing how unlikely it was that ever it could revert to the crown, but that it would be a present convenience to him, did show, at that time, there was 4,000 persons derived from the very body of the Chief Justice. It seems the number of daughters in the family having been very great, and they, too, have most of them many children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. This he tells us as a most known and certain truth. After supper my Lord Brunker took his leave, and I also did mine, taking Captain Herbert home to my lodging to lie with me, who did mighty seriously inquire after who was that in the black dress with my wife yesterday, and would not believe that it was my wife's maid Mercer, but it was she. The 23rd of September. Up and to my Lord Sandwich, who did advise alone with me how far he might trust Captain Cock in the business of the prize goods, my lord telling me that he hath taken into his hands 2,000 or 3,000 pounds value of them, it being a good way, he says, to get money, and afterward to get the king's allowance thereof, it being easier, he observes, to keep money when got of the king than to get it when it is too late. I advised him not to trust Cock too far, and did thereupon offer him ready money for 1,000 pound or two, which he listens to and doth agree to, which is great joy to me, hoping thereby to get something. Thence by coaches to Lambeth, his lordship and all our office and Mr. Evelyn, to the Duke of Albemarle, where, after the compliment with my lord, very kind, we sat down to consult of the disposing and supporting of the fleet with victuals and money, and for the sick men and prisoners. And I did propose the taking out some goods out of the prizes, to the value of 10,000 pounds, which was accorded to, and an order drawn up and signed by the Duke and my lord, done in the best manner I can, and referred to my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis. But what inconveniences may arise from it, I do not yet see, but fear there may be many. Here we dined, and I did hear my Lord Craven whisper, as he is mightily possessed with a good opinion of me, much to my advantage, which my good lord did second, and anon my Lord Craven did speak publicly of me to the Duke, in the hearing of all the rest, and the Duke did say something of the like advantage to me, I believe not much to the satisfaction of my brethren, but I was mightily joyed at it. Thence took leave, leaving my Lord Sandwich to go visit the Bishop of Canterbury, and I and Sir William Batten down to the Tower, where he went further by water, and I home. And among other things took out all my gold to carry along with me tonight with Captain Cock, down to the fleet, being 180 pounds and more, hoping to lay out that and a great deal more to good advantage. Thence down to Greenwich to the office, and there wrote several letters, and so to my Lord Sandwich, and mighty merry, and he mighty kind to me in the face of all, saying much in my favour. And after supper I took leave, and with Captain Cock set out in the yacht about 10 o'clock at night. And after some discourse, and drinking a little, my mind full of what we are going about, and jealous of Cock's outdoing me, so to sleep upon beds brought by Cock on board, mighty handsome, and never slept better than upon this bed upon the floor in the cabin. The 24th of September, Lord's Day. Waked and up and drank, and then to discourse. And then, being about Gray's, and a very calm, curious morning, we took our wherry and to the fishermen, and bought a great deal of fine fish, and to Gravesend to White's, and had part of it dressed. And in the meantime, we to walk about a mile from the town, and so back again, and there, after breakfast, one of our watermen told us he had heard of a bargain of clothes for us, and we went to a blind alehouse at the further end of the town, to a couple of wretched, dirty seamen, who, poor wretches, had got together about 37 pounds of cloves and 10 pounds of nutmegs. And we bought them of them, the first at 5 shillings 6 pence per pound, and the latter at 4 shillings, and paid them in gold. But, Lord, to see how silly these men are in the selling of it, and easily to be persuaded almost to anything, offering a bag to us to pass as 20 pounds of cloves, which, upon weighing, proved 25 pounds. But it would never have been allowed by my conscience to have wronged the poor wretches, who told us how dangerously they had got some and dearly paid for the rest of these goods. This being done, we, with great content herein, on board again, and there Captain Cock and I to discourse of our business. But he will not yet be open to me, nor am I to him, till I hear what he will say and do with Sir Roger Cuttance. However, this discourse did do me good, and got me a copy of the agreement made the other day on board for the parcel of Mr. Pierce and Sir Roger Cuttance. But this great parcel is of my Lord Sandwich's. By and by to dinner about 3 o'clock, and then I in the cabin to writing down my journal for these last 7 days, to my great content, it having pleased God that in this sad time of the plague everything else hath conspired to my happiness and pleasure, more for these last 3 months than in all my life before in so little time. God long preserve it, and make me thankful for it. After finishing my journal, then to discourse, and to read, and then to supper and to bed, my mind not being at full ease, having not fully satisfied myself how Captain Cock will deal with me as to the share of the profits. The 25th of September. Found ourselves come to the fleet, and so aboard the Prince, and there, after a good while in discourse, we did agree a bargain of 5,000 pounds with Sir Roger Cuttance, for my Lord Sandwich, for silk, cinnamon, nutmegs, and indigo. And I was near signing to an undertaking for the payment of the whole sum, but I did by chance escape it, having since, upon second thoughts, great cause to be glad of it, reflecting upon the craft, and not good condition, it may be, of Captain Cock. I could get no trifles for my wife. Anon to dinner, and thence in great haste to make a short visit to Sir William Penn, where I found them, and his lady and daughter, and many commanders at dinner, among others Sir George Askew, of whom, whatever the matter is, the world is silent altogether. But a very pretty dinner there was, and after dinner Sir William Penn made a bargain with Cock for 10 bales of silk at 16 shillings per pound, which, as Cock says, will be a good penn'orth. And so away to the Prince, and presently comes my lord on board from Greenwich, with whom, after a little discourse about his trusting of Cock, we parted, and to our yacht, but it being calm, we, to make haste, took our wherry toward Chatham. But it growing dark, we were put to great difficulties, our simple yet confident waterman not knowing a step of the way, and we found ourselves to go backward and forward, which, in that dark night and a wild place, did vex us mightily. At last we got a fisher boy by chance, and took him into the boat, and being an odd kind of boy, did vex us too, for he would not answer us aloud when we spoke to him, but did carry us safe thither, though with a mistake or two. But I wonder they were not more. In our way, I was surprised, and so we all were, at the strange nature of the sea-water in a dark night, that it seemed like fire upon every stroke of the oar, and they say is a sign of wind. We went to the Crown Inn at Rochester, and there to supper, and made ourselves merry with our poor fisher-boy, who told us he had not been in a bed in the whole 7 year since he came to Prentice, and hath 2 or 3 years more to serve. After eating something, we in our clothes to bed. 26th of September. up by 5 o'clock and got post horses and so set out for Greenwich, calling and drinking at Dartford. Being come to Greenwich and shifting myself, I to the office, from whence, by and by, my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis set out toward Erith, to take charge of the 2 East India ships, which I had a hand in contriving for the King's service, and may do myself a good office too thereby. I to dinner with Mr. Waith to his father-in-law's in Greenwich, one of the most silly, harmless, prating old men that ever I heard in my life. Creed dined with me, and among other discourses got of me a promise of half that he could get my Lord Rutherford to give me upon clearing his business, which should not be less, he said, than £50 for my half, which is a good thing, though cunningly got of him. By and by Llewellyn comes, and I hope to get something of Deering shortly. They being gone, Mr. Waith and I went into the garden to discourse with much trouble, for fear of losing all the profit and principal of what we have laid out in buying of prize goods, and therefore puts me upon thoughts of flinging up my interest. But yet I shall take good advice first. Thence to the office, and after some letters down to Woolwich, where I have not lain with my wife these 8 days, I think, or more. And after supper, and telling her my mind about my trouble in what I have done as to buying of these goods, we to bed. The 27th of September. Up and saw and admired my wife's picture of our Saviour, now finished, which is very pretty. So by water to Greenwich, where with Creed and Lord Rutherford, and there my Lord told me that he would give me £100 for my pains, which pleased me well, though Creed, like a cunning rogue, hath got a promise of half of it from me. We to the King's Head, the great music-house, the first time I was ever there, and had a good breakfast. And thence parted, I being much troubled to hear from Creed that he was told at Salisbury that I am come to be a great swearer and drinker, though I know the contrary. But, Lord, to see how my late little drinking of wine is taken notice of by envious men to my disadvantage. I thence to Captain Cox, he not yet come to town, to Mr. Evelyn's, where much company, and thence, in his coach with him, to the Duke of Albemarle by Lambeth, who was in a mighty pleasant humour. There the Duke tells us that the Dutch do stay abroad, and our fleet must go out again, or to be ready to do so. Here we got several things ordered as we desired for the relief of the prisoners and sick and wounded men. Here I saw this week's bill of mortality, wherein, blessed be God, there is above 1800 decrease, being the first considerable decrease we have had. Back again, the same way, and had most excellent discourse of Mr. Evelyn, touching all manner of learning, wherein I find him a very fine gentleman, and particularly of painting, in which he tells me the beautiful Mistress Middleton is rare, and his own wife doth brave things. He brought me to the office, whither comes unexpectedly Captain Cock, who hath brought one parcel of our goods by wagons, and at first resolved to have lodged them at our office, but then the thoughts of its being the King's house altered our resolution, and so put them at his friend's, Mr. Glanville's, and there they are safe, would the rest of them were so too. In discourse we came to mention my profit, and he offers me £500 profit clear, and I demand £600 for my certain profit. We part to-night, and I lie there at Mr. Glanville's house, there being none there but a maid-servant, and a young man, being in some pain, partly from not knowing what to do in this business, having a mind to be at a certainty in my profit, and partly through his having Jack sick still, and his blackamoor now also fallen sick. So, he being gone, I to bed. The 28th and 29th of September. Up, and being mightily pleased with my night's lodging, drank a cup of beer and went out to my office, and there did some business, and so took boat and down to Woolwich, having first made a visit to Madam Williams, who is going down to my Lord Brunker, and there dined and then fitted my paper and money and everything else for a journey to Nonsuch tomorrow. That being done, I walked to Greenwich and there to the office pretty late, expecting Captain Cox coming, which he did, and so with me to my new lodging, and there I chose rather to lie because of my interest in the goods that we have brought there to lie. But the people were abed, so we knocked them up, and so I to bed, and in the night was mightily troubled with a looseness, I suppose from some fresh damp linen that I put on this night. And feeling for a chamber-pot, there was none, I having called the maid up out of her bed, she had forgot, I suppose, to put one there. So I was forced in this strange house to rise and shit in the chimney twice. And so to bed, and was very well again, and to sleep till 5 o'clock, when it is now very dark. And then rose, being called up by order by Mr. Marlowe, and so up and dressed myself, and by and by comes Lashmore on horseback, and I had my horse I borrowed of Mr. Gilsthrop, Sir William Batten's clerk, brought to me, and so we set out and rode hard, and was at Nonsuch by about 8 o'clock, a very fine journey and fine day. There I came just about chapel time, and so I went to chapel with them, and thence to the several offices about my tallies, which I find done, but struck for sums not to my purpose, and so was forced to get them to promise me to have them cut into other sums. But, Lord, what ado I had to persuade the dull fellows to it, especially Mr. Warder, master of the Pells, and yet without any manner of reason for their scruple. But at last I did, and so left my tallies there against another day, and so walked to Yule, and there did spend a piece upon them, having a whole house full, and much mirth by a sister of the mistress of the house, an old maid lately married to a lieutenant of a company that quarters there, and much pleasant discourse we had. And dinner being done, we to horse again, and came to Greenwich before night. And so to my lodging, and there, being a little weary, sat down and fell to order some of my pocket papers. And then comes Captain Cock, and after a great deal of discourse with him seriously, upon the disorders of our state through lack of men to mind the public business and to understand it, we broke up, sitting up talking very late. We spoke a little of my late business propounded, of taking profit for my money laid out for these goods. But he finds I rise in my demand, he offering me still £500 certain. So we did give it over, and I to bed. I hear for certain this night upon the road that Sir Martin Noel is this day dead of the plague in London, where he hath lain sick of it these 8 days. The 30th of September. Up and to the office, where busy all the morning, and at noon with Sir William Batten to Colonel Cleggett, to dinner, being invited, where a very pretty dinner to my full content, and very merry. The great burden we have upon us at this time at the office is the providing for prisoners and sick men that are recovered, they lying before our office doors all night and all day, poor wretches. Having been on shore, the captains won't receive them on board, and other ships we have not to put them on, nor money to pay them off or provide for them. God remove this difficulty. This made us followed all the way to this gentleman's house, and there awaited for our coming out after dinner. Hither came Llewellyn to me, and would force me to take Mr. Deering's 20 pieces in gold he did offer me a good while since, which I did, yet really and sincerely against my will, and content, I seeing him a man not likely to do well in his business, nor I to reap any comfort in having to do, and be beholden to a man that minds more his pleasure and company than his business. Thence, mighty merry and much pleased with the dinner and company, and they with me, I parted, and there was set upon by the poor wretches whom I did give good words and some little money to, and the poor people went away like lambs, and in good earnest are not to be censured if their necessities drive them to bad courses of stealing or the like, while they lack wherewith to live. Thence to the office, and there wrote a letter or two, and dispatched a little business, and then to Captain Cox, where I find Mr. Temple, the fat blade, Sir Robert Viner's chief man, and we three, and 2 companions of his, in the evening, by agreement, took ship in the Bazan, and the tide carried us no further than Woolwich, about 8 at night. And so I on shore to my wife, and there to my great trouble find my wife out of order, and she took me downstairs and there alone did tell me her falling out with both her maids, and particularly Mary, and how Mary had to her teeth told her she could tell me of something that should stop her mouth, and words of that sense, which I suspect may be about Brown. But my wife prays me to call it to examination, and this, I being of myself jealous, doth make me mightily out of temper, and seeing it not fit to enter into the dispute, did passionately go away, thinking to go on board again. But when I came to the stairs, I considered the Bazan could not go till the next ebb, and it was best to lie in a good bed, and it may be get myself into a better humour by being with my wife. So I back again, and to bed, and having otherwise so many occasions to rejoice, and hopes of good profit besides, considering the ill that trouble of mind and melancholy may in this sickly time bring a family into, and that if the difference were never so great, it is not a time to put away servants, I was resolved to salve up the business, rather than stir in it, and so became pleasant with my wife, and to bed, minding nothing of this difference. So to sleep with a good deal of content, and saving only this night and a day or two about the same business about a month or 6 weeks ago, I do end this month with the greatest content, and may say that these last 3 months, for joy, health, and profit, have been much the greatest that ever I received in all my life in any 12 months almost in my life, having nothing upon me but the consideration of the sickliness of the season during this great plague to mortify me. For all which, the Lord God be praised. October 1665, the 1st, Lord's Day. Called up about 4 of the clock and so dressed myself, and so on board the Bazan, and there, finding all my company asleep, I would not wake them. But it beginning to be break of day, I did stay upon the deck, walking, and then into the master's cabin, and there leaned, and slept a while. And so at last was wakened by Captain Cox calling of me, and so I turned out, and then to chat, and talk, and laugh, and mighty merry. We spent most of the morning talking and reading of the Siege of Rhodes, which is certainly, the more I read it, the more I think so, the best poem that ever was wrote. We breakfasted betimes, and came to the fleet about 2 of the clock in the afternoon, having a fine day and a fine wind. My lord received us mighty kindly, and after discourse with us in general, left us to our business and he to his officers, having called a council of war. We, in the meantime, settling of papers with Mr. Pierce, and everybody else, and by with Captain Cuttance. Anon called down to my lord, and there with him till supper, talking and discourse. Among other things, to my great joy, he did assure me that he had wrote to the king and duke about these prize goods, and told me that they did approve of what he had done, and that he would own what he had done, and would have me to tell all the world so, and did, under his hand, give Cock and me his certificate of our bargains, and giving us full power of disposal of what we have so bought. This doth ease my mind of all my fear, and makes my heart lighter by 100 pounds than it was before. He did discourse to us of the Dutch fleet being abroad, 85 of them still, and are now at the Texel, he believes, in expectation of our Eastland ships coming home with masts and hemp, and our Loden, Hamburg ships going to Hamburg. He discoursed against them that would have us yield to no conditions but conquest over the Dutch, and seems to believe that the Dutch will call for the protection of the King of France, and come under his power, which were to be wished they might be brought to do under ours, by fair means, and to that end would have all Dutchmen and families that would come hither and settled to be declared denizens. And my lord did whisper to me alone, that things here must break in pieces, nobody minding anything, but every man his own business of profit or pleasure, and the king some little designs of his own. And that certainly the kingdom could not stand in this condition long, which I fear and believe is very true. So to supper, and there my lord, the kindest man to me before all the table, talking of me to my advantage, and with tenderness too, that it overjoyed me. So, after supper, Captain Cock and I and Temple on board the Bezan, and there to cards for a while, and then to read again in Rhodes, and so to sleep. But, Lord, the mirth which it caused to me to be waked in the night by their snoring round about me! I did laugh till I was ready to burst, and waked one of the two companions of Temple, who could not a good while tell where he was, that he heard one laugh so, till he recollected himself, and I told him what it was at, and so to sleep again, they still snoring. The 2nd of October. We having sailed all night, and I do wonder how they in the dark could find the way, we got by morning to Gillingham, and thence all walked to Chatham, and there with Commissioner Pett viewed the yard, and among other things a team of 4 horses came close by us, he being with me, drawing a piece of timber that I am confident one man would easily have carried upon his back. I made the horses be taken away, and a man or two take the timber away with their hands. This the Commissioner did see, but said nothing, but I think had cause to be ashamed of. We walked, he and I and Cock, to the Hill House, where we find Sir William Penn in bed, and there much talk and much dissembling of kindness from him, but he is a false rogue, and I shall not trust him. But my being there did procure his consent to have his silk carried away before the money received, which he would not have done for Cock, I am sure. Thence to Rochester, walked to the Crown, and while dinner was getting ready, I did there walk to visit the old castle ruins, which hath been a noble place, and there, going up, I did upon the stairs overtake 3 pretty maids, or women, and took them up with me, and I did besarlas muchas veces, et tocar le man and necks, to my great pleasure. But, Lord, to see what a dreadful thing it is to look down precipices, for it did fright me mightily and hinder me of much pleasure which I would have made to myself in the company of these 3, if it had not been for that. The place hath been very noble and great and strong in former ages. So to walk up and down the cathedral, and thence to the Crown, whither Mr. Fowler, the mayor of the town, was come in his gown, and is a very reverend magistrate. After I had ate a bit, not staying to eat with them, I went away, and so took horses, and to Gravesend, and there stayed not, but got a boat, the sickness very much in the town still, and so called on board my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis, on board one of the East Indiamen at Erith, and there do find them full of envious complaints for the pillaging of the ships, but I did pacify them and discoursed about making money of some of the goods, and do hope to be the better by it honestly. So took leave, Madam Williams being here also with my lord, and about 8 o'clock got to Woolwich, and there supped and mighty pleasant with my wife, who is, for aught I see, all friends with her maids, and so in great joy and content to bed. The 3rd of October. Up and to my great content visited betimes by Mr. Woolley, my Uncle White's cousin, who comes to see what work I have for him about these East India goods. And I do find that this fellow might have been of great use, and hereafter may be of very great use to me in this trade of prize goods, and glad I am fully of his coming hither. While I dressed myself, and afterward in walking to Greenwich, we did discourse over all the business of the prize goods, and he puts me in hopes I may get some money in what I have done, but not so much as I expected, but that I may hereafter do more. We have laid a design of getting more, and are to talk again of it a few days hence. To the office, where nobody to meet me, Sir William Batten being the only man, and he gone this day to meet to adjourn the Parliament to Oxford. Anon, by appointment, comes one to tell me my Lord Rutherford is come, so I to the King's Head to him, where I find his lady, a fine young Scotch lady, pretty handsome and plain. My wife also, and Mercer by and by comes, Creed bringing them, and so presently to dinner, and very merry, and after dinner to even our accounts, and I to give him tallies, where he doth allow me £100, of which, to my grief, that rogue Creed hath trepanned me out of £50. but I do foresee a way how it may be I may get a greater sum of my lord, to his content, by getting him allowance of interest upon his tallies. That being done, and some music and other diversions, at last away goes my lord and lady, and I sent my wife to visit Mistress Pierce, and so I to my office, where wrote important letters to the court. And at night, Creed having clownishly left my wife, I to Mistress Pierce's to her, and brought her and Mistress Pierce to the King's Head, and there spent a piece upon a supper for her, and mighty merry and pretty discourse, she being as pretty as ever, most of our mirth being upon my cousin, meaning my Lord Brunker's ugly mistress, whom he calls cousin. And to my trouble she tells me that the fine Mistress Middleton is noted for carrying about her body a continued sour base smell that is very offensive, especially if she be a little hot. Here some bad music to close the night, and so away, and all of us saw Mistress Belle Pierce, as pretty as ever she was almost, home, and so walked to Will's lodging, where I used to lie, and there made shift for a bed for Mercer, and mighty pleasantly to bed. This night I hear that of our two watermen that used to carry our letters, and were well on Saturday last, one is dead, and the other dying, sick of the plague. The plague, though decreasing elsewhere, yet being greater about the Tower and thereabouts. The 4th of October. Up and to my office where Mr. Andrews comes, and reckoning with him I get £64 of him. By and by comes Mr. Gordon, and reckoning with him, he gives me £60 in his account, which is a great mercy to me. Then, being of them met, and discoursed the business of the first man's resigning, and the others taking up the business of the victualling of Tangier, and I do not think but I shall be able to do as well under Mr. Gordon as under these men, or within a little as to profit, and less care upon me. Thence to the King's Head to dinner, where we three, and Creed and my wife and her woman dined mighty merry, and sat long talking, and so in the afternoon broke up, and I led my wife to our lodging again, and I to the office, where did much business, and so to my wife. This night comes Sir George Smith to see me at the office, and tells me how the plague is decreased this week 740, for which God be praised, but that it increases at our end of the town still, and says how all the town is full of Captain Cox being in some ill condition about prize goods, his goods being taken from him, and I know not what. But though this troubles me to have it said, and that it was likely to be a business in Parliament, yet I am not much concerned at it, because yet I believe this news is all false, for he would have wrote to me, sure, about it. Being come to my wife at our lodging, I did go to bed, and left my wife with her people to laugh and dance, and I to sleep. The 5th of October. Lay long in bed talking, among other things talking of my sister Paul, and my wife of herself is very willing that I should give her £400 to her portion, and would have her married as soon as we could, but this great sickness time doth make it unfit to send for her up. I abroad to the office, and thence to the Duke of Albemarle, all my way reading a book of Mr. Evelyn's translating, and sending me as a present, about directions of gathering a library. But the book is above my reach, but his epistle to my Lord Chancellor is a very fine piece. When I came to the Duke it was about the victualler's business, to put it into other hands, or more hands, which I do advise in, but I hope to do myself a job of work in it. So I walked through Westminster to my old house, the Swan, and there did pass some time with Sarah, and so down by water to Deptford, and there to my Valentine's. Round about and next door on every side is the plague, but I did not value it, but there did what I would con ella. And so away to Mr. Evelyn's, to discourse of our confounded business of prisoners and sick and wounded seamen, wherein he and we are so much put out of order, and here he showed me his gardens, which are, for variety of evergreens and hedge of holly, the finest things I ever saw in my life. thence in his coach to Greenwich, and there to my office, all the way having fine discourse of trees and the nature of vegetables. And so to write letters, I very late, to Sir William Coventry, of great concernment, and so to my last night's lodging, but my wife is gone home to Woolwich. The bill, blessed be God, is less this week by 740 of what it was the last week. Being come to my lodging, I got something to eat, having ate little all the day, and so to bed. Having this night renewed my promises of observing my vows as I used to do, for I find that since I left them off, my mind is run a wool-gathering and neglected my business. The 6th of October. Up, and having sent for Mr. Gordon, he came to me, and he and I largely discoursed the business of his victualling, in order to the adding of partners to him, or other ways of altering it. Wherein I find him ready to do anything the king would have him do. So he and I took his coach, and to Lambeth and to the Duke of Albemarle about it, and so back again where he left me, in our way discoursing of that business and contracting a great friendship with him, and I find he is a man most worthy to be made a friend, being very honest and grateful. And in the freedom of our discourse he did tell me his opinion and knowledge of Sir William Penn to be, what I know him to be, as false a man as ever was born, for so it seems he hath been to him. He did also tell me, discoursing how things are governed as to the king's treasure, that having occasion for money in the country, he did offer Alderman Meynell to pay him down money here, to be paid by the receivers in some county in the country upon whom Meynell had assignments, in whose hands the money also lay ready. But Meynell refused it, saying that he could have his money when he would, and had rather it should lie where it doth, than receive it here in town this sickly time, where he hath no occasion for it. But now the evil is that he hath lent this money upon tallies, which have become payable, but he finds that nobody looks after it how long the money is unpaid, and whether it lies dead in the receiver's hands or no. So the king, he pays Meynell 10%, while the money lies in his receiver's hands to no purpose but the benefit of the receiver. I to dinner to the King's Head with Mr. Woolley, who is come to instruct me in the business of my goods, but gives me not so good comfort as I thought I should have had. But, however, it will be well worth my time, though not above £200 or £300. He gone, I to my office, where very busy drawing up a letter by way of discourse to the Duke of Albemarle, about my conception how the business of the victualling should be ordered, wherein I have taken great pains, and I think have hit the right, if they will but follow it. At this very late, and so home to our lodgings to bed. The 7th of October. Up and to the office along with Mr. Child, whom I sent for to discourse about the victualling business, who will not come into partnership, no more will Captain Beckford, but I do find him a mighty understanding man, and one I will keep a knowledge of. Did business, though not much, at the office, because of the horrible crowd and lamentable moan of the poor seamen that lie starving in the streets for lack of money, which doth trouble and perplex me to the heart. And more at noon when we were to go through them, but then a whole hundred of them followed us, some cursing, some swearing, and some praying to us. And that made me more troubled was a letter come this noon from the Duke of Albemarle, signifying the Dutch to be in sight with 80 sail yesterday morning off of Sole Bay, coming right into the bay. God knows what they will and may do to us, we having no force abroad able to oppose them, but to be sacrificed to them. Here came Sir William Ryder to me, whom I sent for about the victualling business also, but he neither will not come into partnership, but desires to be of the commission, if there be one. Thence back the back way to my office, where very late, very busy, but most of all when at night comes 2 wagons from Rochester, with more goods from Captain Cock, and in housing them at Mr. Tooker's lodgings, comes 2 of the custom house to seize them, and did seize them, but I showed them my transire. However, after some heat and angry words, we locked them up and sealed up the key, and did give it to the constable to keep till Monday, and so parted. But, Lord, to think how the poor constable came to me in the dark, going home. "Sir," says he, "I have the key, and if you would have me do any service for you, send for me betimes tomorrow morning, and I will do what you would have me. Whether the fellow doth this out of kindness or knavery I cannot tell, but it is pretty to observe. Talking with him in the highway comes close by the bearers with a dead corpse of the plague. But, Lord, to see what custom is that I am come almost to think nothing of it. So to my lodging, and there with Mr. Hayter and Will ending a business of the state of the last 6 months' charge of the Navy, which we bring to £1,000,000 and above, and I think we do not enlarge much in it, if anything. So to bed. The 8th of October, Lord's Day. Up and after being trimmed, to the office, whither I, upon a letter from the Duke of Albemarle to me, to order as many ships forth out of the river as I can presently, to join to meet the Dutch, had ordered all the captains of the ships in the river to come to me. I did some business with them, and so to Captain Cox to dinner, he being in the country. But here his brother Solomon was, and for guests, myself, Sir George Smith, and a very fine lady, one Mistress Pennington, and two more gentlemen. But both, before and after dinner, most excellent witty discourse with this lady, who is a very fine witty lady, one of the best I ever heard speak, and indifferent handsome. There, after dinner, an hour or two, and so to the office where ended my business with the captains, and I think of 22 ships, we shall make shift to get out 7, God help us, men being sick or provisions lacking. And so to write letters to Sir Philip Warwick, Sir William Coventry, and Sir George Carteret to court, about the last 6 months' accounts, and sent away by an express to-night. This day I hear the Pope is dead, and one said that the news is that the King of France is stabbed, but that the former is very true, which will do great things sure, as to the troubling of that part of the world, the King of Spain being so lately dead. And one thing more, Sir Martin Knowles's lady is dead with grief, for the death of her husband and nothing else, as they say, in the world. But it seems nobody can make anything of his estate, whether he be dead worth anything or no, he having dealt in so many things public and private, as nobody can understand whereabouts his estate is, which is the fate of these great dealers at everything. So after my business being done, I home to my lodging and to bed. The 9th of October. Up my head full of business, and called upon also by Sir John Shaw, to whom I did give a civil answer about our prize goods, that all his dues as one of the farmers of the customs are paid, and showed him our transire, with which he was satisfied, and parted, ordering his servants to say the weight of them. I to the office, and there found an order for my coming presently to the Duke of Albemarle. And what should it be but to tell me that if my Lord Sandwich do not come to town, he doth resolve to go with the fleet to sea himself, the Dutch, as he thinks, being in the Downs, and so desired me to get a pleasure boat for to take him in tomorrow morning, and do many other things, and with a great liking of me and my management especially, as that coxcomb my Lord Craven doth tell me, and I perceive it, and I am sure take pains enough to deserve it. Thence away, and to the office at London, where I did some business about my money and private accounts, and there ate a bit of goose of Mr. Griffin's. And so, by water, it raining most miserably, to Greenwich, calling on several vessels in my passage. Being come there, I hear another seizure hath been made of our goods, by one Captain Fisher that hath been at Chatham by warrant of the Duke of Albemarle, and is come in my absence to Tooker's, and viewed them, demanding the key of the constable, and so sealed up the door. I to the house, but there being no officers nor constable, could do nothing, but back to my office, full of trouble about this, and there, late about business, vexed, to see myself fall into this trouble and concernment, in a thing that I want instruction from my Lord Sandwich, whether I should appear in or no. And so home to bed, having spent 2 hours, I and my boy at Mr. Glanville's, removing of faggots to make room to remove our goods to, but when done, I thought it not fit to use it. The news of the killing of the King of France is wholly untrue, and they say that of the Pope, too. the 10th of October. Up and receive a stop from the Duke of Albemarle of setting out any more ships, or providing a pleasure boat for himself, which I'm glad of, and do see, what I thought yesterday, that this resolution of his was a sudden one and silly. By and by comes Captain Cox Jacob to tell me that he has come from Chatham this morning, and that there are 4 wagons of goods at hand coming to town, which troubles me. I directed him to bring them to his master's house, but before I could send him away to bring them thither, news is brought me that they are seized on in the town by this Captain Fisher, and they will carry them to another place. So I to them, and found our 4 wagons in the street, stopped by the church by this Fisher and Company, and 100 or 200 people in the streets gazing. I did give them good words, and made modest desires of carrying the goods to Captain Cox. But they would have them to a house of their hiring, where in a barn the goods were laid. I had transires to show for all, and the tale was right, and there I spent all the morning seeing this done, at which Fisher was vexed that I would not let it be done by anybody else for the merchant, and that I must needs be concerned therein, which I did not think fit to own. So that being done, I left the goods to be watched by men on their part and ours, and so to the office by noon, whither, by and by, comes Captain Cock, whom I had with great care sent for express the last night, and so I with him to his house and there ate a bit, and so by coach to Lambeth, and I took occasion first to go to the Duke of Albemarle to acquaint him with something of what had been done this morning in behalf of a friend absent, which did give a good entrance, and prevented their possessing the Duke with anything of evil of me by their report. And by in comes Captain Cock and tells his whole story. So an order was made for the putting him in possession, upon giving security to be accountable for the goods, which, for the present, did satisfy us. And so away, giving Locke, that drew the order, a piece, Lord, to see how unhappily a man may fall into a necessity of bribing people to do him right in a thing, wherein he hath done nothing but fair and bought dear. So to the office, there to write my letters, and Cock comes to tell me that Fisher is come to him, and that he doubts not to cajole Fisher and his companion, and make them friends with drink and a bribe. This night comes Sir Christopher Mings to town, and I went to see him, and by, he being then out of the way, comes to see me. He is newly come from court, and carries direction for the making a show of getting out the fleet again to go fight the Dutch, but says that it will end in a fleet of 20 good sailing frigates to go to the Norward or Southward, and that will be all. I inquired, but he would not be thought to know that he had heard anything at Oxford about the business of the prize goods, which I did suspect. But he being gone, anon comes Cock and tells me that he hath been with him a great while, and that he finds him sullen, and speaking very high what disrespects he had received of my lord, saying that he hath walked 3 or 4 hours together at that earl's cabin door for audience, and could not be received, which, if true, I am sorry for. He tells me that Sir George Askew says that he did, from the beginning, declare against these goods, and would not receive his dividend, and that he and Sir William Penn are at odds about it, and that he fears Mings hath been doing ill offices to my lord. I did to-night give my lord an account of all this, and so home and to bed. The 11th of October. Up, and so in my chamber, stayed all the morning, doing something toward my Tangier accounts for the stating of them, and also comes up my landlady, Mistress Clark, to make an agreement for the time to come. And I, for the having room enough, and to keep out strangers, and to have a place to retreat to for my wife, if the sickness should come to Woolwich, am contented to pay dear. So, for 3 rooms and a dining room, and for linen and bread and beer and butter at nights and mornings, I am to give her £5.10 per month. And I wrote, and we signed to an agreement. By and by comes Cock to tell me that Fisher and his fellow were last night mightily satisfied, and promised all friendship. But this morning he finds them to have new tricks, and should be troubled with them. So he being to go down to Erith with them this afternoon about giving security, I advised him to let them go by land. And so he and I, having ate something at his house, by water to Erith, but they got thither before us, and there we met Mr. Seymour, one of the commissioners for prizes, and a Parliament man, and he was mighty high and had now seized our goods on their behalf, and he mighty imperiously would have all forfeited, and I know not what. I thought I was in the right in a thing, I said, and spoke somewhat earnestly. So we took up one another very smartly, for which I was sorry afterward, showing thereby myself too much concerned. But nothing passed that I valued at all. But I could not but think that a Parliament man, in a serious discourse before such persons as we, and my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis, should quote Hudibras, as being the book I doubt he hath read most. They, I doubt, will stand hard for high security, and Cock would have had me bound with him for his appearing, but I did stagger at it. Besides, Seymour doth stop the doing it at all till he hath been with the Duke of Albemarle, so there will be another demur. It growing late, and I having something to do at home, took my leave alone, leaving Cock there for all night, and so, against tide and in the dark and very cold weather, to Woolwich, where we had appointed to keep the night merrily, and so, by Captain Cock's coach, had brought a very pretty child, a daughter of one Mistress Tooker's, next door to my lodging, and so she and a daughter and kinsman of Mr. Pett's made up a fine company at my lodgings at Woolwich, where my wife and Mercer and Mistress Barbara danced, and mighty merry we were, but especially at Mercer's dancing a jig, which she does the best I ever did see, having the most natural way of it, and keeps time the most perfectly I ever did see. This night is kept in lieu of yesterday, for my wedding day of 10 years, for which God be praised, being now in an extreme good condition of health and estate and honour, and a way of getting more money, though at this hour under some discomposure, rather than damage, about some prize goods that I've bought of the fleet in partnership with Captain Cock, and for the discourse about the world concerning my Lord Sandwich, that he hath done a thing so bad, and indeed it must needs have been a very rash act, and the rather because of a Parliament now newly met to give money, and will have some account of what hath already been spent, besides the precedent for a general to take what prize he pleases, and the giving a pretence to take away much more than he intended, and all will lie upon him. And not giving to all the commanders as well as the flags, he displeases all them, and offends even some of them, thinking others to be better served than themselves. And lastly, puts himself out of a power of begging anything again a great while of the king. Having danced my people as long as I saw fit to sit up, I to bed, and left them to do what they would. I forgot that we had Will Hewer there, and Tom, and Golding, my barber at Greenwich, for our fiddler, to whom I did give 10 shillings. The 12th of October. Called up before day, and so I dressed myself and down, it being horrid cold, by water to my Lord Brunker's ship, who advised me to do so, and it was civilly to show me what the king had commanded about the prize goods, to examine most severely all that had been done in the taking out any, with or without order, without respect to my Lord Sandwich at all, and that he had been doing of it, and find him examining one man. And I do find that extreme ill use was made of my Lord's order, for they did toss and tumble and spoil and break things in hold, to a great loss and shame, to come at the fine goods, and did take a man that knew where the fine goods were, and did this over and over again for many days, Sir William Barclay being the chief hand that did it, but others did the like at other times. And they did say in doing it that my Lord Sandwich's back was broad enough to bear it. Having learned as much as I could, which was that the king and duke are very severe in this point, whatever order they before had given my lord in approbation of what he had done, and that all will come out, and the king see by the entries at the custom-house what all doth amount to that had been taken, and so I took leave and by water, very cold, and to Woolwich, where it was now noon, and so I stayed dinner and talking part of the afternoon, and then, by coach, Captain Cock to Greenwich, taking the young lady home. And so to Cock, and he tells me that he hath cajoled with Seymour, who will be our friend, but that above all, Seymour tells him that my Lord Duke did show him today an order from court for having all respect paid to the Earl of Sandwich, and what goods had been delivered by his order, which doth overjoy us, and that tomorrow our goods shall be weighed, and he doubts not, possession tomorrow or next day. Being overjoyed at this, I to write my letters, and at it very late. Good news this week that there are about 600 less dead of the plague than the last. So home to bed. The 13th of October. Lay long, and this morning comes Sir Jeremy Smith to see me in his way to court, and a good man he is, and one that I must keep fair with, and will, it being, I perceive, my interest to have kindness with the commanders. So to the office, and there, very busy, till about noon comes Sir William Warren, and he goes and gets a bit of meat ready at the King's Head for us, and I, by and by, thither, and we dine together. I'm not pleased with him about a little business of Tangier that I put to him to do for me, but, however, the hurt is not much, and his other matters of profit to me continue very likely to be good. Here we spent till 2 o'clock, and so I set him on shore, and I by water to the Duke of Albemarle, where I find him with Lord Craven and Lieutenant of the Tower about him, among other things talking of ships to get of the King to fetch coals for the poor of the city, which is a good work. But, Lord, to hear the silly talk between these three great people! Yet I have no reason to find fault, the Duke and Lord Craven being my very great friends. Here did the business I came about, and so back home by water. And there Cock comes to me and tells me that he has come to an understanding with Fisher, and that he must give him £100, and that he shall have his goods in possession tomorrow, they being all weighed today, which pleases me very well. This day the Duke tells me that there is no news heard of the Dutch, what they do or where they are, but believes that they are all gone home, for none of our spies can give us any tidings of them. Cock is fain to keep these people, Fisher and his fellow, company night and day, to keep them friends almost, and great troubles withal. My head is full of settling the victualling business also, that I may make some profit out of it, which I hope justly to do to the King's advantage. Tonight came Sir John Banks to me upon my letter, to discourse it with him, and he did give me the advice I have taken almost as fully as if I had been directed by him what to write. The business also of my Tangier accounts to be sent to court is upon my hands in great haste. Besides, all my own proper accounts are in great disorder, having been neglected now above a month, which grieves me, but it could not be settled sooner. These together, and the fear of the sickness and providing for my family, do fill my head very full, besides the infinite business of the office, and nobody here to look after it but myself. So late from my office to my lodgings and to bed. The 14th of October. Up and to the office, where mighty busy, especially with Mr. Gordon, with whom I shall, I think, have much to do. And by and by comes the Lieutenant of the Tower by my invitation yesterday, but I had got nothing for him. It is to discourse about the coal ships. So he went away to Sheriff Hooker's, and I stayed at the office till he sent for me at noon to dinner, I very hungry. When I came to the sheriff's, he was not there, nor in many other places, nor could find him at all, so was forced to come to the office and get a bit of meat from the tavern, and so to my business. By and by comes the lieutenant and reproaches me with my not treating him as I ought, but all in jest. He, it seemed, dined with Mr. Adrian May. I, very late, writing letters at the office, and much satisfied to hear from Captain Cock that he had got possession of some of his goods to his own house, and expected to have all tonight. The town, I hear, is full of talk that there are great differences in the fleet among the great commanders, and that Mings at Oxford did impeach my lord of something, I think, about these goods, but this is but talk. But my heart and head tonight is full of the victualling business, being overjoyed and proud at my success in my proposal about it, it being read before the King, Duke, and the Cabal with complete applause and satisfactions. This Sir George Carteret and Sir William Coventry both writ me, besides Sir William Coventry's letters to the Duke of Albemarle, which I read yesterday, and I hope to find my profit in it also. So, late home, to bed.